Amen. We never got to singing in the Spirit yet. But you know, people used to sing in the Spirit.
Amen.
And I mean it.
Glory.
And I know there's people in this room have been in meetings before where people sang in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And I tell you, that's a meeting.
Glory.
Well, we can have that.
Amen.
If we're sincere with God and zealous for God, the Spirit of God can come in such a way where you can sing in the Spirit.
Right.
Sing in your understanding.
Amen.
Praise God.
Right.
Praise God. You feel this presence of God in here this morning.
Amen.
You know, as we sang verse 4 of the chorus previous to this one, I could feel the words. I can't explain that, but I was thinking, when we sing, we need to pronounce every word.
Amen.
And sometimes you can feel them.
Yeah.
And even when you're preaching, I remember preaching in Africa. As I preached, I could feel the word went into people. And Jesus said that you're free through the words I've spoken.
Right.
The word of God is powerful. God's word is powerful. Now you can turn your Bibles to Acts 2, but I want to talk about the results of the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. And just while we're turning, we just want to thank the Lord for, we had a wonderful time last night. And 4 people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was quite something, because that wee man in Dungannon, Brother Jim, he said that over 40 years ago, God told him to dig a hole in the middle of his garage and put a baptismal tank in it.
Amen.
For many people will be baptized, and he said people thought he'd lost the plot. He thought it went cuckoo.
Amen.
But there's been over 500 people baptized in that tank.
Amen.
And in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not 3 titles.
Amen.
We tick the name.
Yes.
Praise God. So we thank God for those that were baptized last night. And there's going to be more come. How do you know? I know.
Glory.
There's more coming.
Glory.
I believe we are close to the move of God.
Amen.
And we have to guard everything lest the devil wants to get in. And I tell you, even the Spirit spoke last night through several different people. The Spirit was speaking. Even on Brother Ian, I thought it was tremendous, the things he said. I have to be honest, I thought one of the words was near a dampener. Some of the young fellas that got baptized. And I believe God fixed that.
Amen.
I believe that. And the Bible says we're to judge all gifts, whether they're of God or not, for they're not all real. But then, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, isn't that right? There's real gifts. There's genuine gifts.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying the gifts last night weren't real. I believe they were real. I believe God was speaking last night. And it's so tremendous when the Lord speaks. But I want you to really concentrate this morning. Let me read you this before I return to this word. Our Brother Brian comes on Tuesday the 1st of October. And he's leaving on Tuesday the 8th of October. So we're going to have service on our Wednesday as normal. Is that alright? Is that alright, Brother? Well,
we
are.
Can
we get here more?
Not the time, please.
So possibly we could have a service here on the Wednesday. Then Friday night, Saturday night, 7:30 here on the 2 and Sunday. You say, why all these services? Because we need them. And I know lots of you just came for meetings. So we're going to have plenty of them. And everybody's going to have an opportunity to get somebody in.
Amen.
And the Bible says compel them.
That's right.
They're not willing to come, compel them.
That's right.
I know it's easy saying it, but it is hard to get them in. But we can make an effort, even as our Brother Gary has said. And I believe that this morning. Let's just read Acts 2. Now I want you to mark this. I want you to memorize Acts 2, 17, 18. Memorize it. Mark it in your Bible. Keep it. It's 25, I'll try to be as quick as I can, but it's quite a lot of things here that the Lord leads, and we'll just see how God goes. We won't have any restrictions, but I really believe there's things here we need to know about. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Let us pray for a word of prayer. If you have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we have access because of the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, we would say with the songwriter this morning, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Father, we would ask this morning that the Holy Spirit will be in this meeting in a very special way. We invite the Holy Spirit to come. We ask the Holy Spirit to take charge and control in all of our lives. We yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill every fiber of our beings with the Holy Ghost. Sanctify us and wash us in your blood. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, bless those that raise their hand with a need. You are the provider. Provide and make it possible, whatever the need is, that you'll grant it to the person that's a hand up. In the name of Jesus, I pray. We ask again for Brother Edris and all of the Hood family, for your strength and blessing and comfort at this time of loss, in Jesus' precious name. We thank you for last night, for the young man and the young woman that stood up and testified that they were dying to the world and rising with Jesus Christ in you. Bless them, we pray, and fill them with the Holy Spirit. Give them a real definite experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and power. In the name of Jesus. Father, this morning, lead us and guide us in this service. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I was reading something, actually last night, when we were in the service. You know, in this Bible I have here, I have loads of quotations in this Bible, Smith Wigglesworth. They're made into it. There's pages of them. I'm actually opening one right now without even noticing it. Wigglesworth. But Wigglesworth said this. He says, don't give me a man that has a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you'd say that's some statement. This is what he said. Give me a man that's seeking it. Because he said too many times when we get the baptism, we get satisfied and we get content. But the man that hasn't got it, is seeking for it, he's on the move. Now he says, yes, I'd rather have a man with it that's still on fire. But he says, a man that's got it at a time and settled down, he's no use. He says, I need a man that's looking for it, a man that's got it and on the move. And then the Lord said in Revelation, I'd rather you're cold or hot.
Amen.
I'll spew you out of my mouth.
Amen.
Right. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural endowment of power from heaven to equip the Christian for effective witness and service. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to quote you the words of a man. I didn't hear him often. I think it was Brother John gave me a tape of him. I heard him once preach when I was only a young fella. Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith made a statement that I've been making for years, but I didn't realize. I knew I heard it somewhere, and you'll always find if you say something, it comes from somewhere. Well, it came from Joseph Smith, but I believe it. He said when he went down for a pair of shoes to the shoe shop, He never asked for a pair of tongues. He asked for a pair of shoes, and the tongues was in them. And I tell you, when we ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you won't need to pray, Lord, give me tongues. I don't actually believe in that. Lord, give me tongues. Now, you can pray for that if you want. I never ever prayed for tongues, but I speak in them. Never once asked God for tongues. I asked God for the power of God. I asked God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I asked God for all the gifts. All the gifts. Now, we're going to see this morning, I believe in tongues. I believe they're mighty effective. And I thank God for tongues. And John G. Lake, if you get a chance, read about John G. Lake. John G. Lake was a powerful man of God. I'll tell you, matter of fact, how God used John G. Lake. The top man in the country where John G. Lake went in Africa, Lake said he could cure anybody out of a wheelchair. And the boy says, we'll soon find out. He brought 100 of his worst cases. Lake told him to go and get the worst ones. 100. To the service that night in wheelchairs. And 99 of them rose out of the chairs, and the 100th one walked the next day. Amen. Lake believed what he preached. Yeah. Lake would pray in tongues, in private, and God would give him the interpretation, and he'd write it down, and that was his message. Tongues had almost become a lost cause today. People have belittled them. Some people have even blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They've spoke so hardly against the gifts of the Spirit. Do you realize that Jesus says that it'll come to pass in the last days that all manner of sin will be forgiven except the word spoken against the Holy Ghost? And if somebody is genuinely speaking in a real tongue from God, you need to be careful if you call that the devil. It's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Or any other gift. It's dangerous to do it. Many churches don't teach about the gifts. Even the message churches don't teach about the gifts. Many preachers today know nothing about the gifts. Because they've never experienced themselves the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's really the truth of it. But it is a pattern of the early church. And it is a pattern of the Bible. And if we're going to call ourselves end time Pentecostal believers, we have to believe in the gifts of the Spirit. If we don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, we might as well just join some organization what has them on the shelf, and there's plenty of them. And not have to look for them. But I believe in the gifts. The gifts have helped me so many times. I can write a book on times where the gifts have operated in their own services and spoke directly to me, telling me where I'm going and warning me many times, and it's always came to pass. Now that we want to start at Acts 2 and verse 4, and you get the book of Acts, and this book of Acts should be read and read and read. Amen. Acts 2 verse 4, and what happened to the disciples on the day of Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I know it was a language. Now I want to deal with this. I know it was a language. Let's say it was French. Now it wasn't, but just for talk's sake. Let's say they were English, and then God let them speak in French. But it was still a supernatural act. God gave them a language they never learned. They never went to college to learn it. God let them fluently speak in another language that they never learned. That has to be and is the supernatural power of God to do that. Now, I actually believe that if you're a true missionary and you went to preach and there was no interpreter, I believe God could give you the language supernaturally. I saw it happen in glimpses many times, but I believe God could do it. And I know of men that it's happened to where they never learned the language and the Spirit fell on them. And they preached fluently to the people in their own language. And when they finished, they didn't even know what they said. And they have to ask somebody, what did I say? You say, but why would God do that? Because the Bible says your understanding's unfruitful. The Bible talks about praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
And you don't know what you're praying, but your spirit is praying unto God.
Yes.
It's a realm beyond your natural thinking where you reach that point. If you don't know what to say, the Spirit moves you.
Right.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here's your key. The Spirit gave them utterance. I tell you, we need the Spirit of God to give us utterances today.
Amen.
We need the Spirit of God. Look at these believers in chapter 8, if you go to chapter 8 of Acts. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures next. Now I know I've read these before, but I'm going to read them again. The believers in Samaria come to believe in the Lord through Philip's preaching. And you hear me quoting it often. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them.
Right.
He didn't preach a lodge. He didn't preach an organization. He didn't preach some group. He preached Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the anointed one. He preached about the anointed Messiah. He preached about the Savior. And the Bible says they believed on the Lord. And devils were cast out of them.
Right.
And the Bible says there was great joy in that city.
Amen.
That's the Bible. But yet God had still more for them. You say the Lord saved me and I've come along roads, but God's still more for you.
Amen.
You know how the world says, let's get really into that. And the world takes no half measures where it's a physical events or anything. They go right into them. It's drugs, they go right into them. Well, God wants you right into Him.
Amen.
No limit for God. He'll take you as deep as you want to go. You can go to the ankles or the knees or right up the full way. There's waters to swim in if we're willing. Look at this in verse 12 of Acts 8. But when they believed Philip's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now look at verse 14. Now when the apostles were to Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now that's the difference in today. And I want to pause here and consider this for a moment. When people today get saved at a meeting, and then people hear that they're going to go somewhere else to hear from the Holy Spirit, they don't welcome it. They don't say, well, send Peter and John. They say, keep clear. Then voice believe and speak in tongues and stuff. Don't go there. They do the opposite to the book of Acts. That's why they can't have the results of the book of Acts. And mom and dad's at the back and they can testify to this. Years ago in the CWU, a woman spoke in tongues. And they rushed into the kitchen, filled a bucket of water, and threw it over her to quiet her and calm her down. That's how they responded to the Holy Spirit. Many today don't want the Holy Spirit. Even people that claim to have the Spirit don't really want the Spirit. But in the book of Acts, we're not following any of these organizations. We're independent. We're following the Word of God. They said, Peter and John, verse 15, but when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. These people believe. Now these men of God come down, lay their hands on them, and pray for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Look what happened in verse 16. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, but they were saved.
Yes, amen.
They were saved, and they were baptized, but they still hadn't got the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to notice this word falling upon them. There's no way the Holy Spirit can fall on you and you not know about it. That's nonsense. Don't try and tell me that. That's not scripture. When the Holy Spirit falls on you, you imagine if a ladder fell on you. You'd know about it. If the rain fell on you, you'd know about it. And when the Holy Spirit falls on you,
right,
the Bible says it fell on
them. Yes, amen.
It literally fell on them.
Right.
Power of God, come on.
Right.
I tell you, they didn't need go to question answers to see if they had the Holy Spirit or not.
No.
The fact that people question it proves they haven't got it.
Right.
I know what a definite experience of baptism. And you should know.
Amen.
Don't run after men. If only brother so-and-so would pray for me. Sometimes men, you know, if you only knew some men, you would never run after them.
Amen.
You'd run after Jesus.
Amen.
You go and seek the Lord.
Amen.
Get sincere.
Glory.
And I tell you, God's obligated to fill you. For His word demands it and declares it. Can't back up on His word. For as yet He was fallen and none of them, only the baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. No three titles here. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Look now at chapter 9 at Saul of Tarsus. How he received the Holy Spirit. In chapter 9 verse 10, the 18th. And I want to read all of this to get you the picture. I want you to mark these scriptures in your Bible. Now here is a man that God is going to use. Here again is a man that's saved. This man has met the pillar of fire. Listen to me.
Yes,
he has met
glory.
The pillar of fire, but he still hasn't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? People say, I've recognized the pillar of fire in the day I'm living in and I've got it. The Bible doesn't say that. Paul the Apostle saw the pillar of fire and he still had to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now he was saved, but he was blind. Because the experience he had with that bright light blinded him. And he met the Lord Jesus because he persecuted the church. He threw Christians in jail. You think of this man. He threw Christians in jail. And the bright light appears to him on the road to Damascus. And he says, Lord, who art thou? And he says, I am Jesus whom you persecute.
Amen.
So when you do something against God's people, you're doing it against God.
Amen.
It's a dangerous work.
Amen.
Look at verse 10. And there were certain disciples at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Now remember I told you in Mark chapter 2 verse 17 and 18. And these are the things that's to happen in the last days. Visions and dreams. Visions and dreams is to come in God's people in the last. Somebody said it was fulfilled years ago. Wonder what days are we in now? We're more in the last days than we were years ago. We are living in the last days right now. God's word is still real. And it's still happening today. And the Lord said unto them, verse 11, arise and go into a place which is called Straight. I love that. And he inquired in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he pressed. Now this Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul the Apostle. Verse 12. And he seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So Ananias has a vision that sends him, and Paul has a vision that he's coming.
Amen.
God's working on both ends.
Amen.
So sometimes somebody could say, I have a word from you, and you don't know anything about it, you don't witness with it, mightn't be from God. God will let you know. Now here's another point I want to make, and I want to stress it. Paul has had this visitation. Paul's getting ready for the baptism. He hasn't had it at this point. We know that. And yet he's seeing visions. God can show a man a vision that's not even seeing. You say, where's the Bible? Nebuchadnezzar. God spoke to me when I was in sin. There's people in this service. Did God not speak to you when you were a sinner? He did. God can speak to anybody. God remembers and charges everything. He can call the animals into the ark. He's no problem talking to a man or a woman. So when we say God never spoke to that person, how do you know? God maybe has, but they've rejected it. God can speak. And you remember that you're chosen in Him from the foundation of the world, according to Romans and according to Ephesians. He predestined you. He knew you ever before you were born. God knew you. And He'd already a choice made for you.
Amen.
You didn't know it. Now you can't go out and preach he's lost and he's not and all that. You must preach to whosoever.
Amen.
But God ultimately knows.
Amen.
would leave the job to him.
Amen.
Look at this, verse 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind. This is talking about Paul. All that call upon the verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vassal unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. Verse 16. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, and remember, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest have sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, this is something. This man meets Jesus himself. You see, I was brought up in a certain denomination, I won't name it, but they don't believe in any gifts. They claim that after the 12 apostles, the gifts ceased. So I asked one of their head men one day, I said, have you got this down right? He says, I have. He says, the gifts ceased with the 12 apostles. I says, well, then you're in trouble. He says, what do you mean, Tom? I says, you're in big trouble. He says, why is that? I says, what about Paul? He wasn't one of the 12. Paul wasn't one of the 12. There was 12 not counting Paul. The Bible says Paul is one born out of season. And that goes further. It says he's chiefest of all apostles. I says, what do you do with Paul? Oh, but. There's no oh buts in the Bible.
No.
It's yea and amen in Christ
amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
They say it ceased for the apostles. But I've read you, when you read the book of Acts, the promises unto you, unto your children, unto them that's afar off. Verse 39, is it? Acts 2, 39. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God called you.
Amen.
If he didn't, you couldn't come.
Right.
God called you, the promises to you, the Holy Ghost. So this great man of God received the Holy Ghost, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. I tell you, it's not wonderful.
Glory. Amen.
Now, when we clearly see the Holy Ghost can be received by laying on of hands by anointed called men, but what other way can it be received? You see, when you make a weak box and you have a doctrine that only works with that box, you're in trouble. Because
yes,
God will go outside of that every time.
Yes, he will.
And when you say, unless he believes it like we see it, well, you've just made yourself a denomination. There's no Bible for that unless he believes it like we. Who are we?
Yes, amen.
Unless you believe the word of God. Brother Branham said that evidence is believing the word for your day.
Amen.
And the life of Jesus Christ living through you. Didn't say, unless you believe me or unless you believe we.
That's right.
When you start to change God's word, it's no longer God's word, it's hybrid. And it will not produce what the word produces because it's no more the word. But the true word of God will reproduce. Because it's the original seed. Spoken word's the original seed. Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word.
Glory. Amen.
So while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them. They were baptized while he preached. You know you could receive the baptism during a song service. You could. You could receive the baptism during a prayer meeting. There's no hard and fast rule for you to receive it because they received it when the hands was laid on them. They received it when they heard the word. And then Jesus said he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. So there's three different instructions, but they're all right. We want to obey them, don't we?
Amen.
And we want to be listening to the word. And as we listen to the word of God, that's what I said about this verse 4 in this song. I could feel it. Sometimes when it's like that, we should keep singing it till we get it.
Amen.
And you'll know it. While Peter yet speak these words, Luke verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came as Peter, because it on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it was on the Jews before this. Now the Gentiles have got it. Now you remember, to the Jew they're unclean, because they're not circumcised. The astonishing thing was that they weren't clean. Now you know in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that Peter saw the sheep which God let down before him. And the sheep had all manner of things on it that were all unclean. And the voice said, take and eat. He says, not so, Lord. I've never taken anything that's common or unclean. And the voice said, don't call what I've cleansed unclean.
Amen.
I remember a preacher, and I name no names, and don't even try and think about it. You'll know, maybe, but don't try and think about it. This man, a lot of people would no longer have him preach. He made a mistake years ago and they banned him. None of them would have him. I challenged a lot of the brothers, and you know who I'm talking about, and asked them why they wouldn't have this brother when they had another one. And the other one was as guilty as that one, if not worse. Well, but he made a full repentance. I says, what do you mean by that? He came to us and confessed. Who are us? Are they God? I went secretly and I prayed about that brother that they wouldn't have. And I didn't have him for a long time. You know that. And this is the scripture God spoke to me. Don't call what I have cleansed common or unclean. Now I know another minister made a derogatory statement against me because of that. You know nothing about it. I'm not going to mention much about it. But he said terrible things. More or less I would have anybody, because I had that brother. Who was he? The Bible says we're to be careful, let him that standeth take heed lest he falls.
Amen.
We're not to puff ourselves up, we're to be humble before God. Who was I to judge someone that the Lord's told me he's cleansed? I have to believe God. I was nobody myself. You were nobody. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Look, people have divorced the blood today from the preaching. And as soon as you divorce the blood from the preaching, you have no message. You have no gospel. For the blood of Jesus is the strength of the message. And the strength of the gospel.
Right. That's right. Amen.
And we sang that the Spirit answers to the blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Right. Right.
I thank God this morning for that. Oh, praise God. Look what it says. Can any man forbid water that these should be not baptized? Look at verse 46. While they yet heard Peter preach, verse 45, and they have the circumcision believed. Now verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God.
Amen.
There's an awful mention of tongues in the book of Acts. And almost every place you read, there's tongues or there's prophecies.
That's right.
And why is it that people don't want it when the Bible's full of it?
Right. Amen. That's the truth.
It's full of it. We're going to see even more this morning by God's grace what Paul says about tongues.
Amen.
I remember praying in tongues. The Spirit of God fell on me in Africa. And the Spirit of tongues came on me and I was praying in tongues. I knew it was the devil. But I hadn't got time to explain till, you know, all these great men that thought, you know, they were smart, educated. And this one boy got to the microphone and he gave me a big rebuke. How I had spoken tongues out loud and people could hear it. So that very evening it was his turn to preach. So I sat back and watched, and the place was full of devils. You say in church, yes?
Yeah.
They come to church, you know.
That's right. That's interesting.
And I knew, but I've been fasting and praying and waiting on God. I wasn't depending on quotes. I was depending on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, I believe the quotes.
Amen.
But if folk won't do it, you'll need the power of God. And he got up and he preached his fine sermon and all the rest of it. And then he went to pray for people. And he got down along the front and there's one big woman, and I knew she's full of devils. And she gave him a Mike Tyson special, left to right hook. She near killed him. And he said, "Brother Tom, come and pray." I says, "Oh, but Brother Tom last night was out of order, wasn't he?" But he had no problem with the same devils you're having problems with. Because he screamed and came out. I say, since you disturbed that devil, you work with it.
Yes.
You deal with it. Because I'm not coming to help you. You do whatever you want to do. And I tell you, the power of God come in that place.
Amen.
Those men from Congo came to their meetings. And they believed in the malignant and all sorts of false doctrine. And the power of God come through the door to my right and swept over the platform, and they fell on the floor in their faces weeping. Some of them even passed out.
Amen.
Power of God, because they were mocking the Holy Ghost. There was demons in the room and I never even touched them, and God delivered them.
Amen.
As soon as I went close to them, the demons come out of them. Special power of God. I tell you, it has to be real.
Amen.
These men in the book of Acts weren't going to some college to learn statements.
No.
They waited in the upper room for the power of God.
Amen.
God doesn't need an educated group. God needs a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled group.
Amen.
That's what God wants.
Amen.
Group of people that know the power of God.
Amen.
We'll never reach the world without it.
No, that's awesome.
We need the power of God. I tell you, that man came to me afterwards. He had a different attitude. Now, I'm nobody. I know him that. You know, you could ask Brother Beecham, and we went to Manchester, and that was a massive church as well, full of devils. I never saw as many devils in one church as that church. Now, I'm not speaking against Manchester, but there was demons in that place. But they came out. And they screamed out in terror. And there's people in that meeting passed out under the power of God. Only one thing will do, it's anointing of God.
Amen.
And there was great men there. And they lined a big line. And they all passed through, all these, you know, men. And I'm not going to say much about it. But God doesn't look and say, "These are great men." God's no respecter of persons, remember.
Amen.
There's no big eyes, Brother Brown says, little use. We're nobody, but Jesus is everybody. Jesus is the one. Hallelujah! You know, when they put his name up, he says, "Get that name down. Get the name of Jesus off." He says, "I never told you to put my name up." He said, "There's no great man of the hour. Jesus Christ is the only great man of the hour." That's what the prophet of God said. I believe what he said, for it's the Bible. What question did Paul ask these disciples of Ephesus in chapter 19? You remember, they believed, but he asked them a question. In verse 2 of chapter 19 of Acts, and he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?"
Right.
We believe the message, that's great. I thank God for that. But have you got the Holy Ghost yet?
Amen.
I remember one of the first meetings I preached in the school in Zimbabwe. Right down to Mashingo. And they gathered there together, and they were surprised because 1,400 people came. They were expecting a few hundred. 1,400 came.
Mm-hmm.
You ever saw them meetings? There was a white woman, but she's actually black. She's an albino. She was in that service with a baby, and the Lord healed it.
Amen.
And I preached on the Holy Ghost, and I preached, "We need another Sephora." That's where she took the stone and circumcised them.
That's right.
And Brother Brennan said, "We need another cutback."
Glory.
And a circumcision.
Amen.
Of the Holy Ghost. And circumcision means cutting away and throwing the old away. We need to be clean before God.
Right.
Holy before God, these fellas.
Amen. That's right.
That's why the devil doesn't. He wants us so busy. and our minds on everything but Him. But we need to focus on the Lord.
Amen.
Look at this. And they of the circumcision, verse 3, sorry, of Acts 19. And He said unto them, unto what we are baptized, and they said unto John's baptism. My brother read this scripture last night as well, and said, Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that ye should believe in Him which should come after Him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Nowhere. You send me any preacher you want. There's not one scripture for the baptizing three titles.
Amen.
Not a verse in the Bible.
That's right.
Nowhere.
That's right.
Always in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You say Matthew 28, in the name of the Father, that's the Lord, the name of the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is Christ.
Glory. Amen.
That's the truth. Amen.
Glory.
We shouldn't compromise on that, you know.
No.
It's the truth.
Amen.
If we want the effects of the book of Acts, we must follow the everything in the book of Acts. Look at this. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they speak with tongues and prophesy. Glory to God. You might get the tongues, you might prophesy instead. Praise God, something will take place. Amen. This young man in here, and you're wondering, you've already prophesied.
Amen.
Spirits fell on you as before. God can do it again.
Amen.
Amen. Stir the gift up.
Yes. Amen.
You get it. You don't need to ask for it again. You have it. But you need to stir it.
Yes.
Verse 7, and all the men were about 12. This wasn't a big group. People have an idea, and if there's a multitude, God's not in it. Well, that's not the Bible.
That's right.
There was only 12 here. 12 people, and God moved with the 12.
Amen.
Don't you worry about numbers. The Bible says, and the Lord added to the church, not a preacher.
Right.
If a preacher can add to the church, give me him. It's the Lord that added to the church.
Amen.
Preachers obviously have to be willing, but it's the Lord that does it. How much did Paul say himself spoke in tongues? 1 Corinthians 14 and 8. I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all.
Amen.
That's 1 Corinthians 14 and 8. There's three things a believer does when he speaks in a genuine tongue. I want you to write these. I want you to mark them. It's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 to 4. Let's read it. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but he speaketh unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself.
Amen. That's right.
You say that one man any good, why not?
Glory.
Run your battery glory down, don't charge it and you'll not start it. Charge it and see what happens.
Amen.
Woo.
Glory.
Yes.
There's a wee fella I know and see his van. I've told him 1,000 times, get the battery sorted. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Then the other day, she wouldn't start. Hot day, wouldn't start. We must have left the doors open. I says, I have a van, I could leave them open all week and she'll still start. Especially that make. There's built in that they close off on them. Most vehicles, it's like that. How many knows I'm talking about? But she does it regular. She lets you down at the worst times. She won't start. I pushed her one day and I was sick pushing her, and it's a big van. Legs were sore the next day. But I'll tell you, if the battery was full, boom, boom, off she goes. We need charge. Charge to the power of God. Charge to the Holy Ghost. Full of the Spirit. Oh, thank God. Wigglesworth, they say when they went early in the morning, he was running around the room with signs of praying in tongues.
Amen.
Now, he didn't make a show of it, maybe out, but he's charged before he came.
Amen.
If God's people need charge before church, don't come to get to church to get charged. Get charged before you come.
Amen.
Then when you come to church, there'll be an explosion.
That's right.
That's what we want.
Amen.
A bomb will go off. Oh, we need bombs going off today. Hallelujah!
Glory!
Mighty explosion, didn't
glory!
That's what the Bible calls it!
Amen!
happens. An update. A Holy Ghost update.
Amen.
Put the disc in and renew her.
Glory.
Recharge her. Renew her. Mark these things in your Bible. Number one, he speaks on to God. I didn't know what he said because he was talking to God.
Glory.
Number two, he speaks mysteries. I would never know, and you would never know. Well, how will I do it, God, in a situation where there's a powerful demon? How will you do it? You don't need to worry. The Holy Ghost will take over.
Amen.
Oh, I can never forget it. You imagine a woman at about 80 years of age in a big field. And they brought me out to pray for her, and she took off down the field like Linford Christian.
Amen.
I could hardly catch her.
Praise the Lord.
But I followed her. And eventually I caught up with her, and that devil knew it. And that devil spoke out of her, and that devil said, "Don't come near me. Don't come near me. You cannot cast me out of here." And I said, "Devil, get ready to go."
Amen.
That's what I told him. And I said, "How long have you been here?" And that demon spoke back and he said, "I've been here since she was a very young woman. She's about 80 years of age with a snuff pouch in her pocket." Oh, thank God.
Amen.
God delivered her.
Glory.
God set her free.
Amen.
She went back up to the mountains and testified to her neighbors. There's a church there today.
Amen.
From one woman that God delivered. Jesus met the madman at Gadara. He didn't say to him, "Now, when I tell you there's a lovely wee college down the road, we'll get you signed up." It wouldn't have worked. They bound him with chains. They tried to fetter him. They tried to dress him and all sorts of stuff, but nobody could do it. He broke the chains asunder. He ran naked like a wild man. But when Jesus passed that,
glory
to God. Hallelujah.
Glory.
When Jesus passed that, something happened.
That's right.
I tell you, when Jesus comes on the scene, the tempter's power is broken.
Glory.
The Holy Ghost. Power of Almighty God.
Amen.
I'm thinking just now, and I'm feeling the same. Listen to this, sisters. I knew of a woman in Africa, and her husband went out. He told her he's working shifts and he's working late, but she found out he was committing adultery. And she prayed. And she sought God. And she went and got a hold of a man of God in a prayer cloth. And she got him to pray over that man's suit. And she sewed a prayer cloth in the suit. And she sewed a prayer cloth under his pillow. But it was anointed over and prayed for. You said, "Where'd that come from?" They take handkerchiefs and aprons of the body of Paul. And they led them on the second recovered. It's the book of Acts. Where is it in the church today? It's part of this Bible.
Glory.
I tell you, he come home and he put that suit on and he fell on his knees and wept.
Amen.
Power of God, come on.
Glory.
He confessed everything.
Amen.
And his wife forgiven and their home was restored. God restored them.
Amen.
That's the power of God.
Amen.
God's not a separator. In them cases, God's one that can restore. It's easy to break up, but it takes God to do restoration, doesn't it? God's a God of restoration. He edifies himself. The time's going. You enjoy it?
Amen.
Praise God. If a believer prays in an unknown tongue, what part of him's praying? 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Oh, my spirit prayeth. Did you hear what a brother said last night? When he stayed with that brother, you know, the big man, brother. Henry says he gets into spiritual warfare in the night and he's praying and everything in the night. Yes, really, you know. Many a time you can be praying in tongues in the night.
Right.
You're working against the devil, but you've got somebody with you.
Amen.
He's called Jesus. Jesus says, "I'm going away, glory to God. But I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
In my name. The Holy Ghost come to take the church on. The Holy Ghost come to continue the work. The Holy Ghost came to Jesus for power. So that we'd be victorious people. Praise God. How did the Lord Jesus say a true worship should worship him? John 4, verse 23 and 24, in spirit and truth. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. How does Jude exhort Christians to build themselves up? Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How are you going to build up? Praying in the Holy Ghost. When a believer speaks in an unknown tongue, what may he pray for next? And explain tongues in the church. I wrote this in the note. I feel led. Some people's about, you know, I want you to understand this. Let me take 5 minutes. Is that all right? Then we'll close. I want to explain this. Because some people think, because maybe they think it's out of order, or it's this or that, just throw it all out. No. There's a way to do it. A way that'll please God. A way that'll edify you. A way that'll bless you. And you remember, if there's people operating in gifts that's new to it, you know, let's have a bit of room. Do you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Paul teaches these things, but he doesn't throw them out. Let's read from verse 13 of Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 14. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. God can give you the interpretation of your own tongue. But there's man that has the gift of interpretation. I believe there's men in this room that have the gift of interpretation. I know it. They can interpret tongues. Do you know that? We're going to see it here in the Bible. And I believe it's real. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. He doesn't tell you to stop it. Right. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room, the unlearned, say amen? The him that's given thanks, sing. They understand it's not what I say. So Paul's saying pray in the Spirit and pray where you understand. Do both. Pray for the interpretation. If it's a message in tongues. Now you could be praying in tongues. I do it all the time. It's not necessarily a message. I'm just edifying myself. I don't mean it for a message. Maybe you might hear it. But it's just for me to edify myself. It's not a message. And then there's other times you hear tongues coming out. It is a message. Tongues interpret it's the same as prophecy. Yes. God can really speak to you through gifts. God can give. I heard people saying so much nonsense, and it's just always a light at the end of the tunnel. I said, well, I'll give you some examples. You'll meet a man tomorrow, and all the details.
Right.
That was no light at the end of the tunnel. It happened.
Right.
See, people want to show you something they say that's not real to disprove the real. Don't worry about the unreal. You work with the real.
Amen.
And the farmer said, I'll not sow wheat because it's some weeds. When then he wouldn't have any wheat. But he sows his wheat. There'll be weeds there, but that doesn't bother him. Spray them down.
Amen.
Keep the wheat.
Glory.
Rid of the weeds.
Amen.
Amen. Look at verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now listen to this. I thank my God, I speak with the tongues more than you all. Yet in church, I'd rather speak 5 words of understanding than my voice, and I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So if I'm coming up here, there's no point in me praying in tongues now. You'll not know what I'm talking about. I'm talking to you in the language you know. But it doesn't do away with tongues. Verse 20, brethren, be not children, understanding how be it malice, be ye children, but understand men. Verse 21, and the Lord is written, with men of other tongues and with lips will I speak unto this people, and yet they will not hear, saith the Lord. To them that believe not, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. That's prophesy. So tongues, real tongues in the church is for the unbeliever. You can read that here. And let's listen carefully. Because some of us think when God gave a gift of discernment that it's all over the day, it never happens again. No, that's not the case. The Bible says here, and you read through this, I'm going over it, but you can read it. When the real tongues operates, it can reveal the secrets of man's hearts.
Amen.
And the interpretation can come and reveal secrets. And the Bible says that in the unbeliever fall down, take God's in you of the truth. That's the real gifts of God. How do you think James McConnell standing on a pulpit could turn around his right, point me out? Brother Bobby was with me. And that man told me everything. How did he do it? It wasn't in his notes. He had no notes for that. The man didn't know me. That's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Look at verse 26. Howbeit then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying.
Amen.
So there's a place to operate it, and there's a way to do it.
Amen.
But you don't throw it out. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three at the most, and by course, and let one interpret. So tongues, when it's given out over the church, let somebody interpret it. And you can have it three times if you want. The old Pentecostal churches had this all the time, you know.
Right.
Now I know people say, well, it was all false and all that. But no, it was real. It was real. Here, this here is real. The book of Acts.
Yeah.
They had it. Verse 29. Let the prophet speak. Listen to this. I was asked less for this. Verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. Now, I thought there's one prophet. Now, hold this for a moment. Don't get on a religious horse. There's a major prophet. We know God sent a major prophet. But in the book of Acts, there was more than one prophet. There was lots of prophets. And a man that operates a gift, a prophecy, is classed in the book of Acts as a prophet.
Amen.
Now, the pastor might have that ministry, but there's prophets that could have it. And we have to recognize, that's why there's so much misunderstanding. Because it's a different ministry.
Yes.
And that's what the Bible talks about, discerning the Lord's body. The different ministry. There's different manifestations of the Holy Ghost. But here it talks about two or three prophets. Now if a man stands up and gives a prophecy and says, thus saith the Lord, that man is a book of Acts prophet. Like Agabus. You remember Agabus? Paul's a major prophet. How many knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Paul the Apostle is a first church age messenger. But yet Agabus is called a prophet in the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
And he binds his girdle around him and says, thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
You go up, you have a bind. God's always got men. We should never limit God.
Amen.
But what's happened today is people's thrown everything out. Everything. Well, if we're claiming we're following the Word, you can't do that. Because it's all part of the Word of God.
Right.
Now I'm closing. Verse 31. For ye may all prophesy one by one. Brother mentioned it last night. All prophesy, Brother Jim. For ye may all prophesy one by one. That all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. So I heard a man years ago and he said it. I was forced to me and I couldn't stop it. That's not the scripture. You can control it. You'll hear other men saying, I felt led and I didn't do it. Of course, they can do that. Subject to the prophet.
Amen.
It's not the word of God. For God is not the author of confusion but peace. And all churches of the saints, let your women keep silent in church, for it is not permitted on the women to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. As also saith the law. And if they will learn, let them ask the husbands at home.
Amen.
Verse 36. What came the word of God out from you? Or came it only unto you? And you know the rest of these scriptures. I'm going to have to close because I don't want to hold this. But there's nine gifts of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, we should not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. If we claim we have more revelation, and there's a gift of revelation in here too. It says here one could have a revelation, doesn't it? One could have a revelation. Now it won't be a revelation It tells you the Lord has come.
That's right.
And you've missed the rapture now. Or the Lord has come and you need to give me plenty of money. Can you imagine that a man had the face on him to tell people that God's going to come on a date and sell all your houses, but of course bring it to him. Now how foolish would somebody be? That fella should have been chased. Now you know what Jesus told us, the words of Jesus Christ? Many false prophets shall arise and show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible to save the very elect. And I met such a man. I met such a man. And he could do everything you could think of. But then he told people, Hillary Clinton will be the next president. He prophesied it in the name of the Lord. He told them the Lord would come on a certain date. Prophesied it in the name of the Lord. Well, she's not the president. And the Lord didn't come on the date he said. You know, Barry Smith said a good thing, and I'm closing. Barry Smith said, when a man makes a prophecy of a date when the Lord will come, you know he's a false prophet. Because the Bible says, no man know the day nor the hour. Yeah. Let's stand our feet. I know I've had this, but let's stand our feet. I'm not going to call nobody forward to use up time, but I'm going to pray. And when we're singing, I want you to really be sincere with God.
Amen.
I want you to enter in a new way. Enter into the worship, and God can fill you. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you will know the presence of God in your life. And you say, Brother Tom, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, but God can fill you again. We ought to want filled every time we meet. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning for the book of Acts. We thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, I just ask in this service this morning that your people will endeavor to seek your face for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst us. Help us to reverence your Spirit. Help us to understand the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, I pray you'll speak to us through the Spirit and in the Spirit. And I pray you'll help men and women in here to stir up the gift which is within them. We just thank you for it, Lord. We just pray you'll meet every need this morning. And anyone, Lord, that wasn't sure on some of me, their question be answered. And may confusion go. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. As a brother comes, God bless each one.
Well, the sin, the righteous, and the naked, the